All right. We're trying to be jovial. Bethany, bringing us
Watch our
down.
spirits.
Oh, I'm gonna cry a little bit.
I know.
Some good
Thank
energy
you.
now.
Right. 2023 Decafit World Champion Morgan Schultz.
Yay.
Bravo.
Thank you, guys.
Bravo.
I
Well
appreciate
done.
it. I appreciate it. It still is settling in. I put my so this is my desk I'm sitting at right now where I work. I put my big check right on the wall behind it. So every time I'm on a meeting, I just stare at it and I go, wow, that was a really great day.
Do
I'm still reveling in it for sure.
I get to make the Spartan joke and say, well, you should probably cherish that check because that might be the only one you get? Sorry, Spartan. Had to be done.
Ooh, I like
Had to be
it.
done. Had to be done. Had to
Spicy
be
from
done.
the beginning.
No. I'm sure you'll get it. It just might take a
We'll
while.
see.
But
We'll
hey,
see. Fingers
what all did
crossed.
you get? So you got like the big check and you got the Delta Triangle thing, right?
So the big check, the Delta Triangle, the RAM roller, and I tried to fly home with all of it and not check a bag. I only had my carry-on. So I took the check, folded it in half, and then I took the RAM roller as a like a plus one item to put in the overhead storage compartment on the airplane. And it goes through security. And the woman, the TSA agents, like stopped and they pulled it out and they go, honey, what is this? I go, oh, I just, you know, I ran a race, you know, no big deal. I'm the Decafit world champ. And she goes, oh, we have an athlete here, everybody. And the TSA agents are like, woo. She's like, okay, have fun. Oh, yeah, thanks.
So they let you take it all?
Yeah, they let me take all of it. Well, they also took out the triangle thing from my backpack. And they were like, what is this? Is this another thing you won? And I was like, yeah, I also got a really big check. So I took out the check to show them too. They were impressed. It was flattering.
So you were able to take all that on a plane, and I got nailed $80 American for 5 pounds overweight.
No. Ooh, fly Southwest.
Wow.
Southwest
Wow.
is the
Yeah.
move. Yep.
What airline?
Southwest.
Yeah, I didn't have to pay anything else.
Well, I thought I
Southwest.
saw
I've never
Carly had
flown
to check her
Southwest.
RAM.
Oh, I saw that on Instagram. Yeah, I didn't have to check anything. I just shoved it all down the little thing, the roller thing, and it went through the little X-ray thing. It was so funny seeing the reactions, though.
I still have Vivian Tefuto's third place one from last year in my dining room because she couldn't get
Why
it at
didn't
home.
what? Oh, so she just gave it to you? Did you drive?
Yeah, because I drive. So she's like, here, take this.
She's like, here, yeah. I love it.
Yeah, wow, that's crazy. We didn't have near that nice a flight.
I feel like you're pretty lucky too. Like that triangle doesn't usually make it through because it's quite sharp.
Well, it's like a weapon, right? I know they
Yeah.
took it out and they took out like the actual plaque and they were like touching it, like fidgeting with it a little bit. And they're like, well, and like another TSA agent came over and they looked at it. But then they read it and they were like, something world, like Decafit world champion or whatever it says on there. And they're like, oh, it's an award. It's an award. And then they're like, are you an athlete? You know, a whole conversation ensued. And they're like, okay, well, you're fine, I guess, because you're an athlete. You're not going to do anything with it, right? No. I'm just trying to go back home.
They didn't do that with yours, Beth. What the hell?
Well, I checked mine because I assumed I wouldn't get it. I know, I
was Spirit, you would have had.
was pretty ballsy to just take it through.
Well,
I
so
was like,
what
screw it. If they
happens?
make me throw it out, like, yeah, oh well.
Well, I think they just make you check a bag or something like that, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's not like you were bringing a Savage Axe or anything like that.
Imagine trying to fly with that. Has anyone flown with those? Do they allow you?
I
That is
think
a legit a weapon.
you can actually check them because, like, and the only reason I guess that is back in the day, I bought like some machetes when I was in Jamaica and they had like these cool handcrafted handles. And I was able to just check them in the bag and they went. I mean, they wouldn't let you take it on a carry-on, but check bag seems okay.
For sure. Yeah, check that. No, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Carry on. They'd be like, what are you doing? Who are you?
Right. So to a lot of people, you kind of came out of nowhere with this one. Tell us the lead up. Because, I mean, you, like you said, we talked a little bit after the race, and you'd been struggling with injuries before. And it looks like you managed to get it all together and peak at the right time. And your advice to everybody is train less and and you'll do better.
Yeah, I mean, the lead up started probably about 4 months from the Decafit World Championships. I was actually sitting in my bed scrolling on social media, and I'm like, you know what? I'm kind of missing training for something. At that point, I finished grad school in 2022. I took a step back to kind of, you know, prioritize my career. And then once I got into my routine of being an adult, I guess, I was like, I need some more structure in my life. I was going to the gym since 2022, but I wasn't training for something. Callie and I did a High Rocks doubles in February of last year, which, you know, I trained for it, of course, but it didn't hold any significance to me. I take that back. It was a very important race. Callie and I definitely prepared for it, and it was a blast, but it wasn't something I was prioritizing in my life at that point. And then, you know, I've been working loosely with Rich Ryan, and he was still programming for me, but it was more so like ad hoc. Like, I would be like, hey, listen, I have time to train. You know, what are some things I can do? I enjoy training for these functional fitness races. So I love getting in the gym, doing, you know, rowing intervals, ski erging, running. I have a background in running, so I enjoy it. And I just do it. I would do it for fun, even if there weren't races or races weren't a thing anymore. But there was a period of time in the summer where I was scrolling through social media. I was, you know, I follow a lot of people in this space, the Decafit High Rocks scene. And I'm like, there's races going on, Morgan. Like, why aren't you doing them? Like, you used to be, you know, that used to be my thing back in 2019 when High Rocks first came to the US, you know, early 2020, and then COVID hit, life happened. I was on social media in the summer, and I just distinctly remember seeing someone post something about a Decafit result. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this again. But the only way I'm going to be able to do this successfully is if I don't make it my entire life. I needed to, like, find a better balance. And for me, that was, like, you know, prioritizing my job, my relationships, my social life, family, all that stuff before my fitness. So I think I went into the buildup to my first DECA, or I guess it was my second one. I did one in Chicago in 2022. But this first one was more of like a different outlook and a different approach. So I told Rich, like, listen, I want to get back into this, but, you know, I want to have boundaries with myself. I don't want to spend all day in the gym. I want to get to where I think I can be, but, you know, with just a little bit of restriction on time. We had our eyes set on the Midwest Decafit, and I think that was in September of this year. So from August to September, I was slowly building back up into competition mode, I guess. I was being more consistent about hitting the gym. I was enjoying my training, which was the biggest thing for me. I lost that spark, I think, you know, when I was competing heavily a few years ago. And I started to find every time I went to the gym, I was excited. And every time I left, I felt good about what I had done. So I was not, and I'm still not in the gym for a long period of time. I give myself an hour to an hour and a half, 5-ish days a week to do my workout, and then I leave. But I think for me, that worked because it heightened the importance of something that I didn't prioritize to the umph degree. So like when I was there, I was doing it for me, and doing it because I had a race on the calendar. So I think the buildup to the September race was great because I had so much fun. And then that September race came, I ran a really good time, and I'm like, okay, I want to do this. Like, I am going to train for the Decafit World Championship. So it was in September, I was like, okay, I'm back in the gym, I'm building consistency, I'm having fun. So from September until December, it still wasn't the biggest importance in my life. I was still prioritizing all the things I told myself I was going to prioritize, like my career and everything else that goes along with life. But I was finding so much more fulfillment with being in the gym less because it was focus time for Morgan. It was my time after work to de-stress. I didn't have my phone out. I would put that thing on do not disturb and just do my work. And when I left, And I started stacking days and weeks. I'm seeing progress, and that progress was so addicting that I go, okay, I think if I could just be healthy, I mean, can you just string these, you know, weeks of training along? I could probably pull out a decent result at DecaFit. And it wasn't until about a month before I articulated my goal to the people that were really close to me. I told them, I'm like, my goal is to be top five. That was the standard I was upholding for myself. And that's kind of what I was living by day to day in my training. So when the last few weeks of the race came a little bit closer, I was feeling really fit. But like the biggest thing for me is like, I just wasn't injured. I felt super healthy. I was taking care of my body. I was taking care of my relationships in my life. I was prioritizing work and sleep and eating well. Like I was doing the little things that I put off when I was young. I'm still 26, but when I was, you know, in my early 20s, I was not prioritizing, you know, sleep and nutrition. So I learned a lot through this build, but the thing that I learned the most is that training left for me works. Like you said it best, Dave, like for me, I can't handle the volume of being in the gym 2+ hours a day. My body has gone through a plethora of stress fractures. So I run 3-ish days a week. The other days I'm in the gym hitting conditioning pieces, lifting. I got pretty strong during this period of time. And then I thought, okay, I think I can, you know, maybe I have a shot at top five. So that was my goal. I wrote it down on my phone. I'm like, if I can be top five, I'll be very content with this buildup. And I feel as though for me, that was my measure of success, I guess, with top five. And a week before the race, I started doubting that a little bit because I felt sick. You know, it's flu season, things are going around. But like my training, I just felt a little off. And I'm like, I don't know if top five is going to be a thing anymore. But I'm like, you know what, Morg, stick with your guns. You got this. The day the race came, and it was just like any other day, really. I guess I don't know if we should go in the race yet.
Keep rolling.
Should I just keep going? Okay. Yeah. I feel like I'm telling a novel. This is great. It's nice to relive this. The day the race came, and it was honestly, it wasn't really like any different than any other morning that I would be getting ready to do a hard workout. I woke up, I scrolled on YouTube, watched some TikToks, and headed to the venue. The day before, I had a great shakeout. I get to the venue, and I'm like, you know what? Top five. Let's do this. I warmed up on the machines. I'm like, okay, I feel pretty good. Like, I'm ready to, you know, hit a race. I want to run hard, you know? And for me, this was just like an in-and-out race. I booked one night at a hotel. I had my flight back a few hours after the race. So the race started, and it went obviously way better than I had expected. I did not expect to be out front at all. I did not expect to be leading the race one step. So for me, it was kind of like shocking. Like, why? It's like, Morgan, why are you in front right now? You don't have any means of being in front. Like, how are you racing, you know, up here with the great people, like the people that have their names circulating constantly, Tara, Camilla, Lauren, Alex, Chris, like, what are you doing? You know, I felt a little bit out of place, but I trusted it. Like, Morgan, you have to trust your build. You have to trust your training. I think it was during that race, I wholeheartedly believed that, like, I'm meant to be here. But it wasn't until after the bike that I was like, I think I can win. This is crazy. The thing is, when people ask me, like, how did it go? How was it? Like, you know, it went well on paper. You know, I got first place. Super cool. But, like, it didn't feel good. You know, there wasn't a step during it where I was like, oh, this feels awesome. It was just a barn burner from the beginning. But that's exactly how I anticipated it to be anyway. I was like, these girls are fast. They run 5Ks faster than me, I'm sure. I mean, I have ran a fast 5K in the past. I was a college runner, but like those times are few and far between, I'm sure. But I trusted that I could hang with them. And it turned out in my favor. It was tough in the beginning. You guys were there. Bethany was racing, and it was so fun. I think when I left the race that day, I go, wow, like this is why I do it. It's like the camaraderie with the events are just unmatched. I'm like, it was so fun to just test myself and like It's exactly what I imagined it would be like winning something that big. Where people go, oh, like, well, like, what was your training like? What do you do? Like, it was so fun, and like, it just reminded me why I enjoy doing these. It's for like the memories and, you know, meeting awesome people and being able to travel to these places is just spectacular. So I think just it was icing on top of the cake of the entire buildup was just winning this. And again, it's still something that I'm like wrapping my mind around now. You know, I think it settled in for sure, but the few days after, it was weird. I'm like, did this happen? No, it had to happen because I rewatched the race. So I did win. Like, but it wasn't a fluke, right? So for a while after, I was like, oh my goodness gracious, this was such a cool experience. But yeah, I mean, I feel like I just talked for 10 minutes about it. But overall, incredible. I mean, I'm bought back into it. I think with my new routine and my new mindset I have is going to be the only way that I'm able to continue doing these.
I remember talking to you before too, and we were both just kind of like, oh, what's your goals? And you were just so chill, and we're just like, oh, we're just here to have a really good time. And I think, you know, a lot of people, obviously the race was a very big deal too. And we were just kind of hanging out in the back, like having a good time. And I was like, you know, that's how racing should be. And I'm many years older than you too, but at this point in my life, I don't want to race if I'm not going to be enjoying it, and where I'm super, super stressed before, and, you know, nothing but the best is a disappointment. But like, just to have joy on every start line is my ultimate goal at this point in my life too. And just like your attitude before the race was just like, and it helped me too, because just your like free spirit about it also, like you're kind of loosely tied to your goals. Even you're like, oh, I don't really know, top five would be nice, right? Like, and then I'm like, oh my god, Morgan's smashing this. Oh, top five would be nice. But I really appreciate that you can talk about balance and actually taking some steps back around your training, because I think there's so much around, especially with hybrid racing, because there's so many elements to it that you kind of feel and get a bit trapped, and there's always more you could do, because there's running, there's lifting, there's machines, there's the movements, and it seems like when people start to do better, it's like, well, I doubled my training. And it's so then you start to feel like, if I'm not training 2 or 3 hours a day, I'll never be able to compete with the best. And so to hear you say too, like, I take 2 full rest days a week, which I think also in this space, people struggle with rest days. Because again, well, I'll just do something different you know, they're never really shutting it off. And I think for longevity as athletes, that is something that people have to also be able to do. And just, you know, to put boundaries around the amount of time you'll spend in the gym. And even I find it really interesting too, like you went a long period of time for a hybrid athlete without racing, which again, in this space, the amount that people race blows my mind sometimes. And that's just not the formula for success for everybody. It works for some, but it doesn't work for all. And I don't think it necessarily works for most to be racing every weekend. So to just have boundaries around your racing schedule and your life and your training, and just to see, you know, someone did it with kind of a different way than maybe a lot of people are in this space.
Yeah, that's like an important thing that I had to recognize, is that not everyone's success is going to look the same. So some people are able to handle spending a lot of time in the gym and increasing volume, and they do a great job not getting injured. But like, what was hard for me, or what ended up being a great thing for me, was taking a step back and recognizing that I can't do what some other athletes can. I tried it. I've tried it in the past. I tried it in college. It's not something that allowed me to be successful with consistency. You know, there would be a handful of times, though. Like, don't get me wrong, it was hard for me to kind of reset my expectation with the amount of time I was spending in the gym. For me, it's like I would go to the gym and just feel like I wasn't an athlete, because I wasn't spending a lot of time there. I was just going in, doing my training, and leaving. I wasn't adding on an extra 30 minutes on the ski erg. I wasn't adding on an extra half hour run during the middle of the day. I wasn't doing four extra sled pushes at the end just to work on my technique a bit. I just did the bare minimum I could while still progressing. And I think that was a huge mindset shift for me, because just a handful of years ago, I thought more obviously is better. I'm trying to build my aerobic engine and improve my skier time and my row 5K. I have to, you know, row 20,000 meters a week and ski X amount of meters to get better. And sure, up to a point, yeah, definitely it works. And it does work for some people. And, you know, the only way I knew I was going to be able to get back into the space again is if I just reset my expectation and then started to find enjoyment in allowing myself to not spend a lot of time in the gym. Truly, my mindset just changed a lot. And I think that's what allowed me to one, stay injury free, and then two, feel like I had the capacity to jump back into competitive athletics again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with the training piece too, and it is so individual, but there is a point of diminishing returns where you're doing too much and you're never recovering. You know, where you're trying to throw in the extra workouts, you know, the extra run on your lunch hour, and then the extra strength mm-hmm. before you go to bed. And then you're never recovering from your efforts too. And again, some people can handle it, and I'm in awe of people that can too. And like, we have similar situations too, where we've had like years of chronic stress fractures. And I still have found when I've tried also to kind of push in to see, you know, how far can I take this? Like trying to do the extras also, I am more injury prone. And I've decided mm-hmm. to point in my life, I'd rather do less and not be having to take time off every 3 months for another injury. And so then being yes. able to stack on again, like you said, months and then years where you're not having to take time off for injury. So consistency, being doing less so that you can be more consistent, ultimately leads to better results. Uh-huh. So it's just, again, it's figuring out what works for you, because we're not all created equal.
For sure. Like for me, consistency and staying injury free, it was going to be way more of a win than spending more time in the gym thinking I was working on my weaknesses that could potentially get injured. So it was huge. I mean, this all led to few months of progress that I made up to the point of the DecaFit World Championships. And looking, it's a fun thing to look back on, because it's just a lot of things like changed with my training, and they've all been positive things and allowed me to stay injury free and actually like enjoy being in the gym again. There was a time, I think in 2021 or 2022, where I was like, I don't think I'm going to do this again, like get back to the whole competitive aspect of this sport. Like I thought I was just going to, you know, exercise just to exercise, just because but I thought the way that I was training in 2019 was going to be how I had to train years beyond to like be where I was at a few years ago. And you know, it wasn't the case for me, and obviously it's a blessing in disguise now, because I'm spending less time in the gym, so I'm like, I'm also just doing more life things, which is like truly what I have been enjoying a lot. Is I'm, you know, prioritizing fitness when I'm in the gym, but then once I'm out, I'm moving on with my life and doing what I want to do to have fun.
There's so much to say.
Say it.
Okay. First off, the way you're training there too, to me, also promotes a long-term mental health for you, because at your age, you're not totally just jammed in there. You're living the rest of your life, which to me mm-hmm. would indicate that you'll be able to sustain that kind of athleticism longer, right? You're not going to get that burnout as quickly. You're not going to, you know, as if you're spending 3 hours, 6, 7 days a week in the gym, and that's all you do. You're not going to, I mean, I don't see the burnout happening. I see more consistency happening. So back in 2021, you were actually the first guest we interviewed for the podcast ever.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's so cool.
So back 2021. Now, the way it worked out, though, we actually released that episode after we did a High Rocks one, because this was back during the Invitational. And it was, there was all the controversy about that. Yeah. Throwback. Yeah. Exactly. So we ended up releasing it after, but you were actually the first interview we did. And the mindset and just I mean, obviously just coming off a championship in there, you were pretty pissed off, but the mindset and the attitude, the attitude now is just, it's a world of difference. It's just like seeing you, mm-hmm. you're brighter and you're just so happy, much happier. You just seem in a much better place. You're not salty. Yes. when we were there and when we were doing the live stream, and that's when I went up and Luke asked me, he's like, who do you have for third place? And I looked at the start line and I saw you, and I'm not a spiritual kind of aura guy or anything like that. I'm a numbers and facts kind of guy, but I just looked at you and you had that combination of happy and ready. It was just like, yeah, Morgan's
very accurate.
I picked third just because you just looked so prepared, so in the moment that, you know, it was a visible change and almost like a visible mindset that you were ready to go. I don't even know how to explain it, but you could just tell that was going to be your day. I did not pick you to win, but I knew that you were going to have a really good race. Like you could physically see it. And I just, whatever you were doing, just really, really obviously worked with you. And like you say, it might not work for everybody, but neither does, you know, 100 miles of running a week work for everybody. So
for sure.
I was blown away by the change just from then to now and the overall attitude. And even like I said, before you won the race, you could see it then, you know, just that you were a different person.
Yeah, that's actually that's a funny thing or a good thing to point out, because the way that I talk about it now is just so different than the way I talked about racing and training a few years ago. Like my parents were talking about it with me. I think when I went home for Thanksgiving, I'm taking it. The way that I approach just my mindset around it is I'm taking it as seriously as I want to, but I'm not like letting it occupy all of my mind space. You know, that's the best way I feel like I can articulate it. And is I just think about training and racing a lot differently than I thought about it in 2020 and 2021. Like I'm having so much fun is the best way I think I can explain it. Is it's just been it's such an enjoyable experience to like do something, pursue it, enjoy it, but like also know it's not who I am, right? I am Morgan. Like racing and training is just like a little part, a little sliver that people see, you know, when I post on social media. It's just, you're right though. I've changed dramatically since I remember that interview in 2021, which I was pissed. I do recall.
So
yeah, I was really upset. And it meant a lot. It definitely did. I think also what also helped for this past or a few weekends ago was I truly just believed that top five was what I was going to be able to do that day. So like me, I had a few friends that watched the race and they were like, why were you lined up, you know, in the back? Like you weren't lined up in the front, like you won the race. Why didn't you start at the front? Like, yeah, I was one row behind, I think. Well, like, I don't know. Like, I wasn't seated high. I didn't have an expectation to be the first person. I'm just there to like enjoy the experience and you know, say that I ran at the Decathlon World Championships. Like, I didn't have that expectation that I was going to be the front person too. Just, I took it seriously, but I took it serious within reason, and I just had a good time out there, truly.
I know you already kind of talked about the race as it was happening and whatnot, but when they went out as fast as they went out, was that something you were prepared for? Did you expect that?
I did. So like they went out fast, but I was expecting a sprint. So in my head, I'm like, they're going to be sprinting for two laps, just try and hold on a little bit. And I think the good thing about my training is because I'm in the gym a little bit shorter, I do a lot more high intensity intervals. So I was ready to hit 5:15 mile pace for 500 meters for the first time, or 5 minute pace. Like I'm doing short intervals, quick bursts of speed into like, you know, heavy reps of something. So I was prepared for a fast first 500. So although I was, you know, taken aback that it was quick from the gun, I wasn't surprised. I knew if I could stick my nose in it, you know, from the first two laps, the first handful of stations are pretty good for me too. So if I could stay, you know, moderately close to the front pack, which I didn't think I was going to be in the actual front pack, that I would have a good chance at pulling out top five.
And you took the lead, and I'm trying to, somewhere around the rower or the sit-ups.
Yeah, I think after the rower, I had a really good angle. So like when I came into the rower, I took the row, like you had to do, I had to do like a basically like a 360 for that rower. So when I topped off the rower, I had the best angle to exit the rower and start my 500, which that's where I ended up taking the lead. Is I think Lauren and I got off the rower around the same time, but she had a worse angle to start her run. So I was already building momentum into that first 100 meters or however long that straightaway was. So I felt like I was getting up to speed quicker than she was able to. I think it was the row was and the first one I took the lead.
Then something happened that doesn't normally happen. You got overtaken on the ski erg. And I mean, I'm pretty sure I commented this and I'm like, did you go out too much? Mm-hmm. And did you put too much out there? Did you go too hard? Yeah, overtaken on the ski erg, but then you got back into it. So was the ski erg, did you let off intentionally or was that like
you know, it was definitely not an intentional slowdown. I was truly dying at that point. I'm like, oh, Morgan, you went out way too hot. You shouldn't have gone out that fast. You are going, this is the end. In my mind, I was like, this is the end. Like, you did a good job. Awesome. You know, hang your hat on finishing and you know what? Just keep on pushing. So although I was like, this might be the end, I'm like, I'm not going to give up. So I skied a horrible time. I did have some loose goals for what I wanted to hold for the rower and for the ski erg, for the bike. I had metrics. My row, I did well. My ski erg, I was hoping for 2 minutes for the 500, and I was at like 209.
Yeah.
And that's all I could pull. I was like, Morgan, go. Like, where is this? Where is your power? Like, oh, it's because I went out too fast, probably. Like, come on, Morg, you know better. So, I mean, truly, I didn't intentionally let off. It was just, I was exhausted. But I think I was leading up into the ski erg. So when I exited the ski erg, you know, I think Lauren had a few seconds on me, but I was still within, you know, reaching distance of getting her at the next handful of stations. So I was like, if you can just hit this run, you know, don't slow down too much. You're still with it. You're still in contention, I'm sure. And then I knew the back half of the race was going to be pretty good for me, and the bike, the sled push. So I'm like, if you're within, you know, a few seconds, you're still in this. So that was kind of my mindset at the ski erg. It was so subpar. I connected with Rich because he programs for me after, and I'm like, man, like it went well, fell apart on the ski erg. That was just a glaring weak point for me, which it shouldn't be. I'm like a bigger athlete and I have a ski erg to use at both of my gyms that I go to. They're ski ergs. Like there's no excuse besides I just probably went out a little too hot from what I could handle at that time.
It was a 15 second swing.
Mm-hmm. It was huge.
It was a 15 second swing. Cause I mean, I was right in there and I got to see the splits, and most of the girls around you were skiing at around a two, you know, right in that area, a little over, a little under, but right in that neck of the woods. And then, yeah, I saw yours 208, 209. And I remember being very surprised because I thought going into skier again, you would think that would be, you know, one of your stronger suits.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's when I started guessing that you were burning out. Right. But
rightfully so.
Yeah, but to come back from it and then to get back in the game, that shows a lot of fortitude, like a lot of mental toughness to not, mm-hmm. you know, to have that, you know, 15 second swing is a big swing, and then to still put yourself back in the fight and eventually come out ahead. Like that takes some grip.
Yeah. And I trusted that I could run under distress enough that even if I was dying on the station, I could still hold a relatively decent clip for the 5K. So I trusted my running, and it led me to, you know, keep up with Lauren on the preceding run. And then into the, I think it was the farmer's carry,
yep, farmer's carry.
After.
Yep.
Yep. Into the farmer's carry. And I'm like, it was a nice setup because you could, I mean, obviously see her in front of me, but I'm like, okay, she's one turn in front of me, like just maintain your distance. So once you hit the bike, there's not that many seconds between me and her.
It was a really impressive race and very exciting to have. And like you said, you were seated eighth And, to come from eighth to first, that's a pretty monumentous jump on the splits. But so what happens now? Where do you go from now? What's next on the agenda?
Well, I think I'm going to transition into more Hyraxes this spring. So I think there's a Hyrax in Houston in March, a Hyrax in Miami in February. I'm having like loose conversations with Rich about how we want to build up to that. But I'm not going to really change anything when it comes to my training. I mean, besides the fact that I know there's areas that I want to work on, like my ski erg I want to work on. My bike, I still think it could be a little bit better. But I think, having the metrics with the race, with my ski erg and other areas I know I want to be better in is nice. It's nice to have a race to like know where you're at. Like numerically, like how slow was I on this? How fast was I in here? What do I need to work on going forward? But I think for me, for the next few months, it's going to be building up to some Hyrax races. I had a decent Hyrax in Chicago. It was a big PR for me, but these Hyraxes are so competitive these days. Like if you're not in the low 60s, you're not in the elite 15. So I think just trying to get a fast Hyrax time in the spring is going to be a next for me. And then just, I think DECA is my strong or my sweet spot though. I come from like a middle distance running background. I was a sprinter in high school. And I think where it's, I think it's where I'm going to find the most success, but I'm not going to, drop my hat outside of the Hyrax bin. So I'll probably give at least two of those in the spring a shot. And then I guess we'll see what comes from it. But as far as training, nothing's really going to change with, the cadence that I go to the gym. I'm still going to be doing my however long I'm in there, 5 days a week, and then prioritizing the two off days that I have. When I take off days, it's actually like off days. I'm not doing like active recovery on the bike or rower or anything. I'm chilling. I also walk to work a lot of times when I'm in the office. That's a decent hike for me. So I'm moving. I mean, otherwise I sit at my desk for 40 hours a week. So a little bit of movement on those off days ain't too bad.
Yeah, I think now Hyrax, I think for the women's now, it's getting close to like a mid 63 to get into the 15, because this one that just recently happened in Stockholm was so fast.
That was crazy fast.
Yeah, and they were, I mean,
like everything I know, and they're going on broken on the wall balls. All the girls are going on broken on the wall balls now. Like I have to, If I'm going to be competitive in the Hyraxes, there's like a lot of weak points in my Hyrax race that I'm going to need to like hone in on. And one of those big things for me is and burpees. But it's fun to pick some things that you know you're not good at and just like consistently, week over week, build up to trying to be good at them.
Yeah, unbroken on the wall balls for the women now seems to be mandatory.
Yeah, it's like the standard.
Like I've never done 100 wall balls, like fresh. I can't do 100 wall balls unbroken. I can't. I've tried it a lot of times. It's just, I don't know how they do it. It's crazy. Like, but hats off to all them.
I've never even attempted it. I've never even seen how many I can do. Like normally when I practice it, I'll do it in like, sets of like, 35 or 40, right? Like just cut it there. Mm-hmm. I've never even occurred to me to try to broken.
I've tried it. Like just fresh. I've gone to the gym and like I'm like, okay, Morgan, like you can do 100 wall balls fresh. Like if these girls are doing it at the end of a 60-minute high intensity race, like you can do it fresh. I get to like 65 and I'm like, oh no. For me it's my shoulders. Like they're so fatigued and my breathing gets like raspy and short. Like, okay, I just need 1 second. Put the ball down for a second, and then I can finish it. It's just, wall balls are tough for me. Also, my form sucks. I can't, like, feel like my hips aren't mobile enough. Like, I don't know. It's a weak point, for sure. But I think I'll be including more wall balls in my training, for sure.
I find for me that the squat, it's okay. And it's, but I got to throw the ball 8 feet to hit that 10-foot target. Like, I'm just too short. It's a... Like, I know Beth, you share the same deal. Like, it's a long throw.
I eventually have to jump the ball up because I'm so far away and my shoulders get tired, and then I'm just jumping and throwing the ball. I don't know if 100 wall balls is ever in my future. It's so far away.
How's the wall balls at IREX for you in Chicago?
Me? I do a big set at the beginning, which big to me, I mean like 25 or 30. And then it's like tens after that. It all depends on how tired I am. But yeah, once I'm tired, like every wall ball feels awful. So
me too. There's a few things I can do well under fatigue, and wall balling is not one of them.
No, me neither.
Is it more mental though, or is it physical? Because it's like, it's not like it's a hard to do one more rep. It's not like it's a difficult lift,
right?
Like that.
I think, you know, maybe a combo of both. The mental is for me, sure. At the end of the race, I am almost checked out. But you see the finish line right there, but it's like, but at the same time, because it's right there, you're like, well, I'm basically done. Let me just give myself another second to breathe. So I think in Chicago, I did 20 to start, and then I was doing 10s, and then like 5s, and then 3s, and I had people come cheer me on, and they were like, just come on, just do a little more. I'm like, you guys come and run this 65-minute race and tell me to do more. Like, how dare you?
Nice. I wonder, I would like to, and have you ever been in the situation, and I don't know, or I can't remember in Chicago, where it's like you're head to head with someone beside you and you know you're that tight that you have to not break, or you have to keep going and they have to break first. Have you been in that situation where maybe that could just mentally propel you forward?
Yes, with Lauren Weeks in 2019 or 2020 at the Chicago race. I think the first race they had, Barrett brought to Chicago. I was in the lead into the wall balls, I think, or maybe second place. Or I think I was in second place. Lauren Weeks came in right behind me. Maybe like 15 seconds behind me. And she ended up beating me by like a minute and a half, I think. So like we were neck and neck, but once someone gets to the wall balls within like an earshot of me, they're gonna win. That's just the unfortunate reality. They're gonna win. Definitely.
Oh, wow.
I think I ended up getting fourth that day. Yeah. Yeah, that was a tough one. But that was one of the times that I could say I was leading Lauren Weeks at High Rock race, like 4 years ago.
Not too many people can say that.
See, exactly. I'll hang my hat on that one.
That's a very small club.
Uh-huh.
All right, Beth, you got anything else for Morgan for today?
I do not. Thank you so much, Morgan, for coming on. We're huge, huge fans. We were super excited to see you take the podium. You had an amazing race, a great weekend. So all the congrats on your world championship title.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. This was fun and nice to reminisce about coming on in 2021.
Well, somebody had to be first.
Yeah.